Welcome to the Urban Mission Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about Urban Mission and other resources, visit urbanmissionjc.com.
Good morning, everybody. Mute me. good morning. It's always good to be together with believers worshiping God. I mean, thank you to the worship team. I mean, they do such an awesome job. Really, really awesome. Yeah. They work at it too. Just they're gifted, but then they work on their gift too. I just want to thank, Dave and Ruth, John and Sue for the privilege to speak here. Whenever I get the opportunity to speak, I think of it as a privilege to share something from God's Word. It's really an amazing thing, and I don't take it lightly. So I've got some interesting things to share with you today, and it's some of it is going to be hard, but it also, it starts off hard, but then it gets good in the end, right? So bear with me as I go through this stuff. So, we use a lot of words in the course of a day. I was thinking about this. So I looked up, I said, hey, how many words is somebody speaking? And I found this. It says a man speaks about 10,000 words in a day, but a woman speaks 25,000 words in a day. I don't know if that's true or not. It's a joke. But I actually was thinking that, I probably speak more words than my wife does any day, because most of my day, my work day, is in meetings. And I'm like, talking all the time in meetings. And then, I'm sending emails, tons of emails. Those are words too. And then what about text messages and things like that? Those are all words that we are constantly putting out there. And everything I'm going to share with you, and then there's a lot about the words that you use in the Bible, which I'm going to share with you today. But think about that. It's not just the words you speak, but it's the words you type. It's the words that you communicate with at work or wherever. So, I titled this Say It, because that's the words. And how should we speak? How, with that many words, whatever it is, 10,000 plus words a day, that the normal person, maybe even more than that in this rapid communication era, we have to really be very aware of how we communicate and how we speak to other people. And this is some amazing stuff. So death and life are in the power of the tongue. I mean, just think about that alone. Death and life. So your words can bring death. Your words can bring life. And those who love it will eat its fruit. And then in the New Testament, it says, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. How you speak, what you say, doing is important too, but the words that we speak are real important too. In Proverbs, again, it says, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword. Think about the old days with the, Roman soldiers. And when your words can cut, they can damage, they can hurt people. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. See, everything in the scripture, there's the what you got to watch out for, but also there's the positive part of it too. If you think back in your life, right, I was thinking about this too, if somebody has ever said anything to you, you know the old saying, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you? I heard somebody say that recently, that's a lie, because words do hurt, and words can bring healing, words can bring blessing, but words can also bring damage and destruction and tearing down. Now, I was thinking back, I said, did anybody ever say anything bad to me in my life? And you guys think about it, did anybody ever say anything to you that stuck with you? I remembered back to when I was in high school. And my father wanted, I don't know if I ever told you guys this before, my father wanted me to go into the West Point Military Academy. I wasn't so keen about that. He was a World War II veteran, Battle of the Bulge, prisoner of war in Germany and everything, and he enjoyed his time in the military. He always used to tell stories growing up about all the things that he did and reading comic books underneath his weapons carrier and stuff like that. So I did apply, and I went through all this, you had to go to, I remember there was a place in Sparta, it's still there. I had to go there they would measure, your ability, your athletic ability to be able to be in there. But there were, you know, I went to St. Mary's in Rutherford, and there was a nun. I guess she was a guidance counselor or something. She goes, "You're never going to get into. you haven't got a shot. You know, in other words, you're too stupid to get into West Point." And I didn't really want to get into it, but I tried anyway. And but those words stuck with me. That, you know, basically she said that, you know, I couldn't do it. And I was an alternate to get into West Point. Thank God I didn't get in because I wasn't all into it. Probably, who knows how life would have turned out, you know, if I served. I mean, I really respect those who serve in the military tremendously. But, you know, you probably had somebody say something to you. Maybe it was a teacher, maybe it was a coach, maybe it was a friend, maybe it was a parent even that, you know, that spoke negative words over you. So those words stick with you, and they can, you know, even people allow it to define you. You know, we know that those are lies, right? That we know what God said. We just heard, you know, what are you? Dave just said, you know, we're kings, we're priests, right? That's what God says we are. They're not what other people call us or said to us in the past. But I'm just making this point that you can remember the negative things. Then I was trying to remember, like, did I ever anybody ever say anything really positively that really encouraged me and you know, set me on the right path? And I'm sure that happened, but I just couldn't remember, like, of a moment like that. But those negative words stick with you more than the positive words, right? So how much more do we have to, like, you know, keep on, and I'll speak about filling your bucket later, but filling your people's bucket with positive words. So we have to be careful as believers. This was pretty amazing. Ruth was mentioning she reads the New Literal Translation. I found this one, this verse here. This is pretty interesting. In James, it says, if you claim to be religious, which we are, I mean, you know, you could take religious in a bad way, but, you know, it's meant to be like a follower of Christ, right? If you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. You know, it says, in the King James Version, is vain, right? And after this, it speaks about what true religion is, right? And it's like helping the widows and the orphans, right? And, you know, controlling your tongue is part of that. And it's what's on the inside comes out, right? And that's why we have to constantly, that's why we're here today. We have to constantly be feeding ourselves, feeding our soul, because what do you hear in the world, right? And when you watch the news, when, you know, anything, what you're bombarded with is, you know, hatred and people who are tearing down other people. It's like a constant thing. And you have to, like, insulate yourself from that. You got to protect yourself from that. And the way to do that is to keep on filling yourself with the Word of God. So here's from James, right? You've heard this, but I'm going to remind you about this too, just to show you how important the Lord thinks about the words that come out of our mouth. So when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships, for an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Oh, I said that already. I guess it was important. It's in there twice. That was me. I copied it. I guess I didn't really. Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water, right? So, hey, here, what's the point here? The point here is, like, we can come here in church, we can raise our hands and praise in God, and then when we leave these doors, if we're cursing somebody out, right, or somebody cuts us off and, you know, we, you know, give them the middle finger or something like that, you know, or we start yelling at them, that's not the way that we should be living. That's not the way that, you know, you can't be calling yourself a believer and then at the same time be cursing somebody out. These two things are not what should be the way that we should live. So, you know, it says that animals are tamed by human beings, you know, and it's really true. You ever see, like, go to SeaWorld and you see how they, like, tame these killer whales to do stuff? They can tame them, right? Horses, you know, you can make animals do all types of crazy tricks. But to tame the tongue, you can't do it, right? You know, but we know there's one that is, right? It's the Holy Spirit can tame the tongue, right? Did you ever say something and then you get a check in your spirit? Or even before you say something, you get a check in the spirit? That's the Holy Spirit. That's who can tame your tongue. And that's who we have to listen to. In the world, you know, it's like fire, you know, fire, fight, fire, right? Like, so in the Proverbs, it also speaks about a soft answer turns away wrath, right? But in the world, when somebody comes at you and you know, starts an argument with you, what do you want to do? Your flesh wants to what? Argue back. But that's not the right, that doesn't diffuse the situation. That just makes the situation worse. You're throwing another log on a fire. You're making it worse. The tongue can, it says the tongue also is a fire. And you think about, like, how, what type of wars have been fought because of somebody's tongue and things that have been said that have destroyed relationships and destroyed families. I can tell you, being Italian, we're notorious for knowing that somebody gets upset, I'm cutting you off and you're dead to me. I'm not going to talk to you for, yeah, I'm sure it's not just Italians, but everybody's like that. You know, somebody said something and they were so insulted that they, you know, never want to talk to the person ever again. And then it goes like for decades before things get smoothed over, you know. I mean, this is the words that can hurt, right? And I like how it says this, that my brothers and sisters, you know, it says that this should not be so. No, this is not the way that we should be living, in other words. My brothers and sisters, this should not be, you know, that you shouldn't be speaking blessings and then also curses coming out of your mouth, right? You shouldn't be tearing people down. You should be one who's building people up. And there's so much tearing down going on nowadays. I mean, it's worse than I think I've ever seen it. I mean, it's like you can't say anything without somebody being offended, right? First of all, and as believers, we should not be easily offended, right? I remember somebody. I was in a meeting this week, and somebody said, "Oh, I shouldn't have put you on a spot like that." They were saying, I was talking to somebody from one of our brands in Canada, and they were like, "Oh yeah, you should come visit our operations in Canada." And then I was like, "Yeah, but budgets are really tight." And then the woman, she apologized through Teams and saying, "I'm sorry." I'm like, I'm not easily offended, and that was no offense whatsoever anyway. But really, as believers, we shouldn't be easily offended like the world is, right? I mean, you say boo to somebody, and then they're like, oh, you know, we shouldn't be like, people shouldn't have to be walking on eggshells around us, right? But we also shouldn't be the kind of person who's trying to tear people down. And we should be very conscious of the way that we say things and how we speak to people, especially non-believers, right? You know, and I'll show you some of the scriptures. But, you know, this set of scriptures out of James is really, I mean, this is the word of God. I mean, it's really watch what you say. And what do you have to do before you watch what you say? You got to watch what you what? Think, right? Because whatever you think then comes out of your mouth, right? So that's why it always talks about renewing your mind in the Bible. You have to constantly, when scriptures come in. Dave had told us to listen to something, I think it was from Havilah, right? And one thing she said, I found this to be really helpful, so I want to share it in case you didn't read it. But you know how you have like bad thoughts coming into your mind? Stuff like, how the heck, why? How did that come into my mind? Why am I thinking that? And So whenever that happens, right, and it happens to me, maybe it doesn't to you, but it happens to me multiple times in the course of a day. And what she said to say, and I've been doing this and it works, it's like, Holy Spirit, give me a better thought. And I've been doing that. Like I'm getting this thought in my head and I'm like, Holy Spirit, give me a better thought. And that thought disappears. So I'm giving you that little tool there, which she shared that you guys should use too. And it's really been helpful. So, you know, renew your mind, and then, you know, don't let things come out of your mouth that shouldn't be coming out of here. And don't be the one who's like creating firestorms and all of this stuff and how it can corrupt your whole body, what you say, right? You know, there's so many things. I've been, one of the other things that Dave does every year, he's like, hey, you should, you know, develop goals and everything, which I do, and I have like a purpose statement for myself, and I revisit it on a regular basis. But one of the things that I wanted to do this year is to read as many times as I can, to read Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. And I've been listening to it in the morning when I get ready, you know, and that's when I do that. There's so much wisdom in Proverbs. You want to know how to live life right? Read the Proverbs, read Ecclesiastes. So I'm trying to get that into me as much. I'm trying to get it into me, you know, and it's something. But here's some of the things, like a fool's mouth is his ruin. Because, you know, if somebody who's foolish, right, they say foolish things. It's like, how the heck can you say all this stuff? And, you know, and you're like, I don't even want to be around this person because all they're doing is talking about, you know, all this foolishness, and they're talking bad about it. This one, they're talking bad about that one, and nothing's ever good. And it's all foolishness, right? And his lips are the snare of his soul. So what you say, you know, you're like tying yourself all up in knots, right, by your words that you use. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, you know, again, this is the wisdom. This is, you know, King Solomon speaking. The most important thing, in other words, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything that you think, so your heart is like your, you know, your essence, right, your soul. Everything you think flows from it, right? Again, it's what comes in, right? So being here today is a good way to guard your heart because you're getting good stuff flowing into you, right? Keep your mouth free of perversity. And boy, is there a lot of perversity out there. Who would have ever thought that teachers in school would be convincing children to, oh, you're not a, are you sure you're a boy? Maybe you should take these hormone blockers without your parents even knowing about it. I mean, I can't even imagine that. And that even crosses somebody's mind, but that they even would speak that in school to a child that they have care over. I mean, what perversity, right? Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. There's lots of corruption out there, right? We don't have to be part of it, and we should run away from it, right? I mean, it's really hard even to watch like a television show without perversity coming out, without the F word being blasted. And you hear that enough, it starts getting into your soul. And then so before you know it, you're going to be saying it. So, you know, watch what comes into your ears, right? And even the music that you listen to, you know, and if the music is filled with profanity, that profanity is going into your brain, into your heart, and it's going to come out of your mouth, and it's going to be part of who you are. You don't want, that's not the way you're supposed to live as a Christian. You want to listen to like the stuff we just heard in worship today, mostly. I mean, I'm not saying you don't listen to secular songs, but when you do listen to them, make sure they're, you know, not feeding negative stuff into your soul. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. In other words, you know, like when I was thinking of this, I know you guys have been watching The Chosen, but the third series, they had the one where Jesus went to the disciples in the storm and he's walking on the water, right? And it was pretty cool. On the thing we were watching, they showed how they did it, actually, in this big pool and how they filmed it and everything. But, you know, it looked real. And Peter, when he stepped out, he's like, Lord, if that's you, call me unto you, right? So he stepped out onto the water, and he was walking on the water for a while too. But then he took his eyes off of Jesus, looked at the waves, and he started sinking. He's like, Lord, save me. Pulled him up. Let your eyes look straight ahead. So keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, right? If you're ever, you're not sure what to do, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. If you're ever not sure what to do, worship him, praise him. You know, fill your heart, fill your soul, fill your whole being with thoughts, with godly thoughts, with things that are going to lift you up and lift others up, right? Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. So you know what? If you call yourself a Christian, everything you do, every place you go, every every action, you're witnessing, right? And you know, like, you got to be careful, right? Because people are looking at you, and people know if you're a believer or not, right? Even if you don't, even if you're not like out there in people's faces as a Christian and preaching to them, they know. And at work, like I could tell you, people know I'm a believer, and so I have to be especially careful on how I treat other people and what comes out of these lips, right? And how I say things, right? No foul language or rotten talk, I like that. This is like a literal translation again, is to come from your mouth. You ever, hey, I've heard Christians say, oh, what harm is it to say, to use curse words, right? It's not something, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. You know, it's, well, according to the scripture, no foul language should be coming out of your mouth, right? You shouldn't be using swear words as part of your vocabulary. Now, once in a while, people slip, but, you know, you should be keep on getting better and better with that, right, as you come to Christ. It shouldn't just be, you know, the way you started once you come to Christ, you shouldn't still be the same way. You got to constantly be getting more and more like Christ's image, right? That's what we're called to do, right? So let no foul language come out of your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need. So, and there's plenty of people in need out there who need an encouraging word, right? So that it gives grace to those who hear it. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You know, when we do things that are not contrary to the way God wants us to live, it grieves the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to be grieved by my actions or my thoughts or my words. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. All bitterness, anger, wrath, shouting, slander must be removed from you, along with malice, all malice. You know what malice is? Malice is like tearing somebody down who didn't need to be teared down. It's like it's telling a falsehood about somebody where it's not really true. There's a lot of that going on today too. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Again, that forgiving one another, don't be easily offended, ties into that. But think about this checklist, right? Let all bitterness. So we should, as believers, we shouldn't be bitter. Got any bitterness in you? Get rid of it. You know, let the blood of Jesus cleanse you from that anger. We shouldn't be walking around always angry. I remember years ago, my son was home. He's like, "Why are you so angry all the time?" I'm like, "Oh man, it made me look at it." I'm like, "Wow, I'm not responding really good. Every little thing was like set me off." I'm like, "Why is that? That's not good. I shouldn't be living that way." And it made me think about that. You know, so you know, I try to be cognizant of that. And wrath, right? So, you know, being wrathful, shouting. That's another good thing if you're Italian, right? Like, you can't have a discussion with anybody without just yelling. You gotta like increase the volume to hear my point. I gotta like talk louder because, you know, I still have a hard time with this one still. I'm working on it, right? I'm getting better, but it's like, yeah. Oh, my Lord, help me. All right, so, you know, but we got to, like, you know, challenge ourselves here, right? Shouting, you know, that's not the way to resolve things again. It's not shouting. Slandering people, like tearing them. Well, you always do this, and you're like this, and oh, man, it just gets worse and worse and escalates, and bam, you get this big old explosion or fire, the forest fire, like that James was talking about. Say it. Watch what you say. Watch how you think, right? I was thinking about that little, I remember that little kids, we used to teach the little kids, be careful, little feet, where you go. And then, I looked it up because I thought there was a part that said, you know, be careful, little mouth, what you say. It says that too. It's something we teach little kids, kindergartners, right? Be careful, little one, what you say, right? Where you go, what you see. It's valid for adults. Yeah, what you hear. Yeah, I mean, it's really, think about that little nursery rhyme. It's a Sunday school nursery rhyme. You teach them, be careful, little kids, little children, what you see, what you hear, what you say. It's still valid for adults, right? Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Because you will wreck yourself if you don't check yourself, right? Because if you keep on letting things get into you and you keep on hearing things that, you know, you're going to wreck yourself. You will. It's the right saying. I can't help it. Sorry. It's me. It's who I am. I can't, like, you know, be somebody else, right? Yeah, right. I know. I'm a Jersey guy. Proverbs 18, an offended brother is harder to reach than a fortified city. Now, don't go around offending people. Be careful, yeah, right? And quarrels are like the bars of a fortress. It's like something hard to break into. You can't get back. You want to have a relationship with somebody? We talk a lot about relationship. First, our relationship with God, but our relationship with one another. If you're offending people and you're saying things that offend them, it's like a fort. Think about those old forts, and it's really hard to take those old forts, right? Those walled cities, right? The castles. Quarrels are like the bars of a fortress. In Matthew, it says, I like this a lot. This scripture verse is really powerful. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. That's so, you know, there's a lot of religions out there like, hey, you can't eat this, you can't do that, you know, because what you put in your mouth defiles you. Jesus, you know, he taught that it's not what you put into your body that defiles you, it's what comes out of your mouth, because again, it goes back to the other scripture, guard your heart, because what comes into your heart is going to come out of your mouth. It's going to, you know, guard your brain, because what comes into your brain or through your ears is going to come out in actions or words or deeds. You ever wonder how sometimes some people get to, you know, do like really horrible things? Like we were watching, there was something on TV about this man who got convicted because he murdered his wife and his son, right? I don't know. You might have seen it. It was a thing. Like that guy just didn't wake up one day and say, I'm going to become a murderer, right? That starts with little things. And then when you let that go, right, then it gets bigger. And then you're starting to lie. And then you're starting to steal. And then you're starting to cheat. And then you're, you know, you get hatred built up inside you. And then you're looking at money is the most important thing to me or whatever. And I'll do whatever to get ahead. And then you get to that point, you know. So that's why you have to guard your heart. You got to guard yourself. And that's why these things are in the scriptures, to remind us that constantly be on guard, constantly watch it. Revelation 12, this is also very powerful, right? In the end days, right? Revelations. And I heard a loud voice saying in the heavens, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the answer of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Now we know we're cleansed because of the blood of the Lamb, the righteous one, the holy one, Jesus Christ, the crucified one who died and rose again on the third day, right? We're cleansed through his blood. And that helps us to overcome, but also the word of their testimony too, right? So, you know, I was thinking about this, right? Everybody's got a testimony. If you say that you're a believer and you follow Jesus Christ, you had to make a decision at one point in time and say, Lord, I recognize you, Jesus, that, you know, as it says in Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So if you call yourself a believer, you have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's the essence of it. So, that's the power of the blood that washes us and cleanses us. But once you did that, you have a testimony. And you know what? People can debate you about the Bible, whether it's true, whether miracles really happen or whatever. They can't debate you about your testimony. Because, hey, I once was blind And now I see. I'm not the same Al that I was before I accepted Christ as my Savior. I'm not the same guy. I used to do, you know, and some people might think, well, you're not so good. Yeah, well, if I didn't accept Christ, I'd be a lot worse than what I am now. That might not be the best example, but you get my point, right? It's like we all have testimonies. And if, you know, you don't have to know the Bible memorized up and down in order to testify to somebody, to witness to somebody. You could just say, all I know is that when I read these words, this is not like anything else. This is not like reading any other religious book or anything I've ever read in school, Shakespeare or whoever the great authors of that. This is life. These words are tangible. They change you. It molds you. It shapes you. So you have a testimony, and you could tell people that. That's my point. And you overcome Satan, because when Satan starts telling you you're not saved, you're no good, you're no better than anybody else, well, guess what? I am saved. I have a testimony because I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. So I'm saved, because that's what it says in the scriptures. Amen. Preach it, right? Thelma. Yeah, this is good stuff. This is good stuff because it's God's word, right? Say it the right way. All right, so with everything, right, I hit you with the negative stuff, right? Watch your mouth, what we say. You know, you can create a big fire, right, a whirlwind, and you can destroy family relations and all types of relations with the words that come out of your mouth. Well, now let's look at the positive part of it, right? Because there's always the good part in the scripture, right? So John 6:63, it says, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. So Jesus' words that he speaks to us today are spirit and life. So those words come into us, right, as spirit and life. And when we speak his words, there's spirit and life going out of us. Think of yourself as like a pond. Think about a pond, right? So a pond, if it sits there and there's no fresh water coming into it, it gets stagnant, right? So this is the word of God coming into the pond, and then it flows out, right? A stream comes out, and then it goes into maybe a lake or something like that. The word of God flows into us, and then we let it come out of us by our actions, by our deeds, by our words. Proverbs 15:23. A man has joy in an apt answer, in a good answer that's appropriate for that time. And how delightful is a timely word, right? You ever get an encouraging word spoken to you when you're down? You're like, oh, man. You're like, hey, Al. How's your day? Oh, well, you know, hey, man, you know, you. I really like that sweater you're wearing. It looks really good. You look really good in brown. Hey, I feel good. You're making me feel good, right? It's a good thing, you know. Hey, you know, I just want to thank you for what you did last week. Or I just want to tell you, I really appreciate you. I really love you. You know, you're a good friend to me, and it just builds you up. That's a good answer, right? You have joy in an apt answer. You know, when you build somebody, when you make somebody feel good, you know, hey, you're checking out at the shop, right, or whatever, and you're like, hey, how you doing? Oh, thank you for being so nice and kind. You know, you say to the lady or whatever who's checking you out, and you kind of build them up. And I know you've all done this, and people are really appreciative when you do things like that, right? That's the type of people we should be, right? We shouldn't be like tearing people down, people. We should be like lifting people up. Isaiah 59:21, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit, which is upon you, right, and my words, which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth. God's words shouldn't depart from my mouth. But not only that, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, from now and forever. You want to know what to teach your kids? You teach your kids God's word, and let God's word be in your mouth and your children's mouth. That's why I'm happy I got a grandchild in church today, right? I mean, that's what we want. We, you know, life is meaningless, really, without having God. I mean, that's what Solomon, you know, he was talking about reading the Proverbs and Ecclesia. In the end, he's like, it's all meaningless. It's all empty. This guy was so filthy rich. I forgot what they said. I remember Nat, when he spoke, he said something about Solomon, like he was like a trillionaire, not a billionaire, because of all the wealth that he had. But in the end, he said, it's all hollow. It's all empty. You know, without God, it is all empty. But with God, it's joyful, and it's great, and it's amazing, right? So these words, they're life. Colossians 4, devote yourself to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. Always be thankful, right? At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door for us for the message to speak the mystery of the Messiah, for which I am in prison. So this is Paul writing from prison, right? So that I may reveal it as I am required to speak. Act wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. Use your time wisely. Treat people right. Your speech should always be gracious. How often should your speech be gracious?
Always.
Seasoned with salt. My wife made a meal. My wife's a great cook, right? Great interior decorator. And she's good at a lot of other stuff. But she cooked something, and she forgot to put salt on it. And it was like very rare for her. And it didn't taste as good as it normally would have, right? That's one time out of 35 years, Ronnie. So you got 35 years of a really great cooking. So anyway, salt makes a difference, right? And we're to be like light. It says we're to be lights to the world. We're to be salt to the earth. It says in the scripture, right? So let your speech be seasoned with salt so that you may know how you should answer each person. Again, be careful. You know, think about these things. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. You could lift somebody up, right? Good words you are like, it's like sweetness. It's like a good dessert that you're eating. In John, it says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Yeah. Right? You ever hear about bucket filling? There's a book called Fill Your Bucket. I think that's the name of it. Anyway, I read it a while ago. But I took this out of there. It's like, so at work, when I talk to people who are people leaders on my team, you know, other people report into them, I always tell them 10 to 1, 10 to 1, 10 positives to tell, build somebody up. Hey, you did this really good. You did a really great job. Great presentation. Great, you know, great work on this. And then to one, well, you could have did it better if you did this, right? So like, let fill people's buckets in a positive way so that it's soulful, right? You create such a great culture at work. And this is true in family life or friends' life or whatever, right? Fill people's buckets. So, but bucket filling in the eye of the bucket holder, so that'd be whoever you're talking to, not the bucket filler. Fill the buckets with things that are important to them, not you. So, you know, if somebody's really, let's say, really into art, it's like, wow, that's a really awesome painting you did there. That's really great. That's really awesome. Like, I might not be into art, so I'm not going to say, hey, you know, whatever, something else. Let's do something, say what's meaningful for those people. This is like one of those love languages, right? Words of affirmation is one of the love languages. And I think everybody could use words of affirmation. It's everybody's love language. People are starved for words of affirmation. So whenever you can, say something positive to somebody. Build them up, right? Let it be part of who you are. Here's some examples of words of affirmation. I'm so proud of you. People like that. I love these qualities about you. You could say that to anybody, right? You can make it. You're going to be successful. I love you. Those are words of affirmation. That should be part of our vocabulary. So, wrapping it up here, people. On the positive, hitting the positives now, right? Proverbs 25:11, it says, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. So that's apples of gold in settings of silver, something really beautiful, right? Is a good word, a kind word spoken. Remember this, we used to speak of this, look for the gold in people. Every person has something that you could call out, that gold in them. Look for what it is. And I also, I was thinking about this. Like, one thing we can do is ask God for a word for somebody, a prophetic word. Hey, what does this person's need? You know, I was in Lowe's yesterday, and I was going to return something. And I'm like, hey, is there anything I could say to this person? I'm like, Holy Spirit, give me something good to say to this person, right? And that's a good way. Like, we should be thinking about that all the time, not just when we're in this building, right? When we go outside, Holy Spirit, what's this person's need? How can I say something that's going to build them up, that's going to maybe make their day? Or I remember hearing a story once about a kid that was walking from school, and they had their books, and they dropped all their books, some girl helped him pick up his books and said some kind words to him. And years later, that person became a medical doctor, and he said, you know, I want to let you know that this one girl who helped me that one day, I was thinking about taking my life. And because of a kind word, because of a kind act, he didn't do it. And he became a medical doctor. You never know. Everybody can use this building up. So I'm not going to read this whole thing, but in Isaiah, we've read, this has come up several times, I think, in church, right? In the year that King Uzziah died, right? Isaiah... the temple was filled with God's presence, right? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Isaiah experienced this. And then what did Isaiah say? He said, woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. When you're in the presence of God, right? What did he say when he was overwhelmed with the presence of God? Do you ever feel like you're Isaiah here? I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live in among a people of uncleanness. A lot of uncleanliness coming out of people's mouths and things nowadays. So one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hands, which he had taken from the altar of God. With it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. It was so important. The most important thing was for his mouth to be cleansed from the altar of God. Think about that, right? That's how important it is. Guard your hearts. Okay, so this is my last slide, and then I'm going to turn over to Ronnie, and we're going to have Holy Communion. So before we say this together, I just want to say we all have made mistakes. We've all said things that we wish we didn't say, right? So when we take Holy Communion, we could think about that and, you know, ask God to forgive us, right? But then think about all these positive things and the way that we could live and the way that we should live. So if you will with me, let's say these two together. We'll just read them right here. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I will be a radical encourager of everyone in my life and all I meet. I will encourage everyone I come in contact with and believe the best for them. Amen.